In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
He's a great God. The Bible says he's enthroned on the praise of his people. One of the ways to call God is through your praise and your worship. Are you hearing what I'm saying? People who serve idols, they sing, they make all kinds of incantations. They make all kinds of incantations to dead gods. But when you sing and you worship, you are worshiping a living God. And he responds to worship. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, would you clap your hands and give him a shout of praise? The Bible says God has gone up with a shout. Is that the best you can give him? The best you can do. The shout at football houses. The shout at football games. But we shout to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Are you ready tonight? Luke chapter 24, verse 45. We are going to receive a word from God that will transform us today. Just going to pray before we sit down. Luke chapter 24 verse 45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Unless the Lord Jesus himself opens the word of God to us, everything will look like a mystery. The teaching and the preaching of the word of God is boring and cannot be understood except Jesus himself opens our understanding. You are going to ask the Lord tonight, Father, open my understanding in the name of Jesus. Pray like you came ready to receive. Open your mouth and pray. You don't need to be charged to pray. Can you pray like Pneumatech? Don't pray like your denomination. Congregational prayer is meant to be prayed out loud. Don't use bedroom voice to pray. Lord, open my understanding. And we want to see you. Yes, Lord, we want to see you. So open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Open the eyes of our heart. We want to see you. Yes, we want to see you. We want to see you in the Word. We want to see you come alive tonight through the entrance of your Word. Mola hasika la mahatema meshke presko falete la brahatama. Come on, pray. Open my understanding. Monsi kalabahati abana. Oh, 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 Lord, open my understanding. In Acts chapter 10, verses 44. One more prayer before we sit down. These prayers are important because prepares your heart for what you are going to receive. It's not just going to be one sermon. It's going to bring deliverance to somebody. And that's why your heart must be opened and your mind prepared to receive from the Lord. The Bible says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Father, as my ears are open to hear your word, let there be an impartation of your spirit upon my life. A serious person will open their mouth and begin to pray. On all those who heard, not on all those who understood. Not on all those who understood. On all those who heard. As I hear, may I receive an impartation of your spirit. Pneumatic, pray. Pneumatic, pray. Pneumatic, pray. Pneumatic, pray. Pneumatic, pray. Pneumatic, pray. May I receive an impartation of your spirit. Let your power rest upon me.
You are here, and you said you'll never leave. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. You are here, and you said you'll never leave. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. You are here, say, and you said you never need.
Father, tonight, open the scriptures to our understanding. Let light proceed from your word. Change someone's life. Visit your children tonight. Thank you for an overflow of the river of your spirit in this place. Our lives will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Are you set to receive tonight? Please be seated. Pick your Bibles, your notepads, whatever you are going to write with. And make sure your ears are really, really open to hear tonight, because somebody will encounter something by the word that will proceed in a moment in the name of Jesus. Welcome to Pneumatech. Those following online, God bless you from wherever you are following. Do well to help us engage the comment session. Amen. The Spirit Life, Part 2. We're going to go a little bit deep today. I'd like your ears to be open. I pray that God will supply understanding. Revelation from the Word of God comes to change. Information may not necessarily change a man, but revelation does change an individual. The Bible says the entrance of your word giveth light. When that light shines in your life, it shines into every darkness of ignorance. The main purpose of us being here is to know God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 2 from verse 2 that it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house will be established above the other mountains, and all nations will flow to it. And in verse 3, the Bible says that men will say one to another, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Let us go to the house of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, so that he will teach us his ways. That's why we come. This God that we claim to serve, we must know him. And that's what we want to do tonight. I want to take you on a journey by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. And I believe that what we will receive tonight, for some people it will bring understanding. For some others it will bring deliverance. But be sure of transformation tonight. Mind you, that we are teaching doesn't mean that the supernatural is not happening. Under this atmosphere, many sick will be healed. Many people connected to you who are sick now, as you are listening to the word, the healing power of God is reaching out to them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. It is in the session of the word that you receive all things. So don't think that because I'm teaching, oh, nothing, no. In fact, we may teach now and break into the prophetic. So let your heart and your spirit be open. The Bible says that while Peter spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them who heard. So you don't need to understand to catch the Spirit through the word. As long as you are hearing, you become a recipient. Amen. And please let me apologize for the sound. The sound people are doing their best. I'm sure that soon you'll get a good output. But if you can hear me, say amen. The Spirit Life, Part 2. We did this last month. Was it last month? But we want to go a step further today. In bracket, subduing the flesh. Subduing the flesh. This is our year of victory. And we have a series coming up very soon. Victory over you. God wants you to experience the victory that you have in Christ Jesus in every aspect of your life. It will interest you to know that one of the aspects that you need to have victory, or you need to exercise your victory over, is you. your flesh, self. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, I think chapter 16, second to the last verse, it says, he that has control over his spirit is more than he that taketh a city. One of the greatest areas to exercise victory and dominion over is the flesh. When we talk about the flesh in Bible context, and for the understanding of everybody, we are talking about the nature of sin that is domiciled in the human body. You will recall that Adam was the first man that we saw was created by God in Genesis chapter 2. And from Adam and Eve proceeded every living or every human being. The moment Adam and Eve fell in the garden, the nature of sin became stuck in their mortal body. What I mean is, they immediately began to develop desires in them that will cause them to sin. And once you are in this human body, one way or the other, if you are not exercising victory that comes through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, you will one way or the other succumb to the lusts, the desires of the flesh, the desire of sin that is trapped in our human body to sin, to offend God, and to go against the commandments of God. Unfortunately, Jesus was the only man after Adam that did not carry human DNA in him. But all of us carry that in us. So in as much as you are now born again and you are in Christ Jesus, you realize that the body that is on you, because this body is like the vessel carrying your spirit and your soul, this body still has the nature of sin in it. Without this body, there will be nothing in you that embraces sin. And so because of that, we are trapped in a battle that we fight on a daily basis, either to yield to the Spirit of God in us and avoid sin, or to yield to the desires of our body and become slaves of sin. But in Christ Jesus, you are no longer meant to be a slave of sin. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he dealt with sin once and for all. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So when Jesus died, he paid the ultimate price for sin. The price for sin was that everyone that sins should die. And when Jesus died, he died for us. So we no longer need to die as a penalty for sin. We have now become victorious in Christ Jesus. And through his death and his resurrection, we now have the life of God in us that positions us for victory over sin. However, the flesh is still there. The nature of sin is still in our body. And one way or the other, you will always be tempted to yield to the desire of the body. And since Jesus has not come, you have to find a way to keep the flesh under subjection till Jesus comes, isn't it? It's just like going to visit somebody and they have a dog in their house. Especially those compound where they write beware of dogs. You know, some people lie. They just put beware of dogs. There's no dog there. But there are some that it's true. When they say beware of dogs, they in fact it's beware of lions. When you see a dog that is this height. Amen. And so the person tells you to come in and I've kept the dog in a cage. And you are hearing the dog ranting from behind the house. Something in you is telling you that dog is loose somewhere. But you need to realize that the dog has been caged. The same way, this victory we have in Christ Jesus helps us to subdue the flesh, cage the flesh and its desires, bring it under subjection, so that you are no longer forced to yield to it. But now living righteous and holy becomes a normal thing. How many of you want to hear this today? Romans chapter 8 from verse 1 to 13. Romans chapter 8 from verse 1 to 13. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So the reason why we are prone to sin is because this flesh, this nature of sin in us, has established a law that makes it find expression in our daily living. That law is called the law of sin and death. There's something you need to know about laws. Laws are non-negotiable. Laws are non-sentimental. Laws are not emotional. Laws are laws. Everything is meant to be subject to a law to find expression or to have its existence. There is a law of gravity that keeps all of us from falling down, isn't it? Whether you are aware of the law or not, whether you like the law or not, it's acting on you. So you see, there was a law exhibited by the nature of sin in us, or the flesh. That law was called the law of sin and death. In other words, as long as you are in this human body, you must sin. And when you sin, you die. Death meaning, number one, separation from the life of God. That means you will completely be a slave of sin. That means you will not know what it is to taste of the very quality life that is in Christ Jesus. The life that gives you victory and assures you of dominion. The life that qualifies you to be a son of God, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Christ. It's called the law of sin and death. But in Christ Jesus, the Bible says in verse 2, that there is another law that was introduced in our redemption. So for God to handle the law that is at work in us that forces us to sin, and then to become subject to the penalty of sin, which is death, God introduced another law. It's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So when you receive salvation and you are born again, God activates inside of you the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That law is meant to exempt you from being a slave to the law of sin and death. Do you understand what I'm saying? He didn't take away the law of sin and death, too. It's still there. But introduce another law, another alternative, so that you are no longer under sin and death. It is the law of sin and death. That's why somebody will tell you, I won't do it again. And by tomorrow, they've done it three times. You find somebody who is engaging in drug abuse, substance abuse. You take them for counseling. You take them for rehab. You do everything possible. And when they come out and you think they are clean, they will go right back into it. And sometimes you wonder if this is an adult that should be thinking. They are actually thinking and reasoning. It's just that they, with their mind, are subject to a law. You can't counsel them out of it. They will remain slaves until you introduce another law that counters that law. And that's what God did at redemption. When you became born again, He introduced another law inside of you. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That as long as you now have this life in Christ Jesus, you have been set free. You have been delivered. You have been rescued from being a slave to the law of sin and death. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's read on. From verse 3 now. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, The law here now in verse 3 is talking about the 10th commandment and the laws that God gave Moses. He gave Moses those laws to culture the children of Israel. Anytime you are afraid of somebody misbehaving, you tell them, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. Because you feel that when they are aware of what not to do, they will not do it. But the more you tell them don't do it, that's when they will do it the more. Is that not true? Imagine telling a child, don't touch that lantern. Except you take that lantern out, one day you will see them there. So when God gave them the law was, because the whole of human race were slaves to the law of sin and death. Now God decided to separate a people. He was still trying to test run the redemption plan. Let me separate these guys. Okay, now I don't want you to be like other people who do anyhow, sin anyhow. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not do this and that. Thinking that that will work. But in verse 3 where we read, the Bible says that the law was weak. Because yes, they know that don't do this. But something in them will betray them to do it. I met people who have met me for prayers, struggling with addiction. And my heart really goes out to believers who struggle with addiction. And if you are like that, you'll be free in this service. Sometimes for some of them who have gone to other places, they come and tell me what they are told. And I realize that except we introduce the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus and tell them how to take advantage of that law, telling a person do not masturbate again is a waste of time. They will go right back because there is a law working in their body. It's a law, you understand? Whether you want, even if you want to fly, jump from a story building, you will still fall. Because there's a law working. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Thank you, sir. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, it was weak through sin, the nature of sin, God did it by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. So what God did was, okay, since there is a nature of sin in you, that even if I tell you all the things you shouldn't do, you will still do it. Now I will come myself carrying that nature of sin that is alive in you. Then I will go to the cross and kill it. So that now that it is dead, it no longer has a hold over you. Do you understand that? I'm doing a very practical exposition so that we can understand. Let's go on. And that's based on what we call the principle of substitution. God came carrying flesh like us, and he went to the cross. So that as he died on the cross, it is assumed that we too have died. Because we were supposed to die because we were slave of the nature of sin that is in us. We're supposed to pay the penalty, which is death. So God decided to pay it for us. And in paying the penalty of death, he killed sin as well. Let me give you an example. Can I have two people come? Bulus, come. Who else come? David, please come. Let me show you something. You know, you people watch film a lot. So let me use film as example. So imagine, let's say this thing you are holding is a gun. Let's say you are a police detective, crack squad, and I'm a criminal. You are looking for me because I've killed many people, and you need to hunt me down so that I don't kill more people, isn't it? And then you come, and as soon as you point your gun to me, here is a civilian standing. And then I hold him like this and say, if you shoot me, he dies. I'm pointing a gun, isn't it? And then you are seeing that I'm not going to negotiate. Then you stretch your hand to aim at me. Maybe you want to get my head. isn't it? And then this guy knows that you won't get me. So what he did is, he came in between so that the bullet can go through him and come to me. So that at least, even if he died, he sacrificed himself so that me, the criminal, can be dead. Once and for all. Nobody will be killed again. That's exactly what happened on the cross. Jesus took our place. Sin. He took the sin on him. So that as he was dying, I'm sure sin and Satan were happy that, okay, yes, another human being who has died because of sin. Not knowing that as he died, sin too was crucified on the cross. The nature of sin that made man a slave was killed on the cross. And it is assumed, according to the principle of substitution, that whatever Jesus was doing on the cross, he was taking your place. So you were on the cross with him when he died. Do you understand that? God bless you. Thank you. Let's read on from verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So when you begin to exhibit the life of the Spirit in you, now that you are in Christ Jesus, what you are showing to everybody is that what Jesus did on the cross was correct. He died with sin. So that you now, taking his place to be alive, you are no longer just alive, but you are alive free from the grip of sin. And so it is assumed that you have taken his place. And his place was that he was a righteous man. Jesus was not an innocent man. He was a righteous man. He had fulfilled the law. But he took our place and died with sin. So that we can take his place. And it can be assumed that we have fulfilled the requirement of the law. The same thing the children of Israel could not do. Say amen to that. Now we can read on. For to be carnally minded. No, go back. Go back to verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let's go on. For those who live according to the flesh. Remember, when you see flesh, it's talking about the nature of sin. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. In other words, people who live in sin, they are doing that because they embrace the desire, the desires of the body, which is connected to the nature of sin. Most of the desires of this, your body, will make you sin. Because your body is now one with the nature of sin. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the body is contaminated with the nature of sin. So every desire the body has is supposed to push you to sin. For instance, a desire of hunger to eat. Is there anything wrong with that? But that desire can drive you to do what is wrong just because you want to eat. It can make you steal to eat. And you want to justify stealing because you are hungry. Is that true? Let's go on. He said, for those who live according to verse 5, let's go on. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. So the reason why they are living in sin is because their mind is on sinful things. That's what they think. And because of that, it's their lifestyle. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Go on. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, which is the law of the Spirit of life. in Christ Jesus. And it is only that Lord that rescues you from the grip of sin. But a carnal mind is a mind that is sold to sin. A mind that only thinks about the desires of the body. How he can please this body. How he can please himself against God. And you know, it's not possible to, any time you put yourself first, you can't avoid sin. Let me say it again. Every time you put yourself first, you can't avoid sin. If it's always all about you, your feelings, your emotions, your desire, body no be wood, you are on the street of sin. You will meet sin at the end of that street. You are already on the street. Just go to number 20. You will meet sin there. Let's go on. But the carnal mind is enmity against God. So as long as you sustain the carnal mind is a mind that is concerned about the desires of the body, the flesh. It will always be against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. It does not think about the things of the Spirit, which is how to please God and how to live the life of the Spirit. Let's go on. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. When he say you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, of course you are still in the human body. But he's saying that you do not live your life setting your mind on the desires of your body. You are not a slave mentally to the desires of your body. You have found that setting your mind on the things of God is more superior and a better way to live than setting your mind on how to please your body. Go on, sir. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So, Christ is in you by the Holy Ghost, but your body is still subject to sin. The nature of sin is still there. It can still misbehave if you allow it. But your spirit is alive. So inside of you, there is the nature of righteousness. But in this body, there's still the nature of sin. So you are living with two forces together. But the antidote to that verse 10 is verse 11. It says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. In other words, the nature of Christ is in your spirit, but the nature of sin is in your body. You have to yield to one. So what the Holy Ghost does in you is he superimposes the life of God that is in you over your body. In other words, it forces your body to adapt to the law of the life that is in your spirit. So that your body now becomes a slave, not to the nature of sin that is in your body, but to a higher law, which is the law of the Spirit of Christ in life in Christ Jesus, which is in your spirit. Do you understand that? Verse 10 says, if Christ is in you, and of course Christ is in you by the Holy Spirit, in your spirit there is righteousness. There is the ability to please God, to live for God. That's why anytime you do something wrong, you feel bad. That's the nature of righteousness. It's in your spirit. You want to please God. When you come to the church and you see people worshiping God, something in you wants to reach out to God. But when you leave the church and pass by NAF, something in you is saying, enter here, enter here. In fact, it's as you are passing, your friend's text message will enter your phone. We day here. We don't order two bottles with chicken. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Are you seeing this? So something in you wants to serve God, but something in you say no, the flesh. So the rescue mission is in verse 11. One will have to subdue the other. So what the Spirit of God does when he says he quickens, you know, King James says quickens or gives life. That life that is in your spirit, it now overwhelms your body. It swallows up the nature of sin in your body. So your body, though carrying the nature of sin, is forced to live the life of Christ that is in you. That's why even when they text you and say, meet us enough, you can say no. The reason why you can say no is because if the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ from the dead will give life, will superimpose that life over your body. It will force your body to be subject to the life that is in the spirit. This understanding is what makes saying no to sin easy. Let's go on. Because I don't know what we are preaching in church these days. We are just concerned about miracles and signs and wonders. And we are raising, in fact, the church is almost becoming a camp of the devil. There are people the devil doesn't attack in the church because they are one of his. And it's time for the church to begin to teach the life, teach believers to understand the superiority of the life that is in them. And how that it is important as a believer that you take advantage of this revelation and subdue the flesh. Otherwise, you will not see the workings of God. Listen, even the manifestation of the power and the grace of God, if you keep living subject to the law of sin that is in your body, if you keep entertaining sin and don't step up to live the spirit life that is in you, there are things that God cannot manifest through you. Some of it come with a degree of glory that can kill you. But you know, that's not what we teach again. Well, we just teach people about miracles, signs and wonders. And we are raising a breed of unbelievers called believers. Out of 5 believers, you see, put 3 million in their front. 3 of them will betray Jesus instantly. When a believer who is supposed to be a man led by the Spirit of God now has a price. You know what I mean by has a price? So is this teaching today now that will set us free? So that many of the things that we are struggling with, instead of struggling, you can just remove it like a cloth and step into the freedom that Jesus has given to you. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Verse 12 and 13, finally. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Go on. It says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. This verse is our anchor verse for today. For if you live according to the nature of sin, you will die. You will be separated from the life of God. That means you can lose your salvation and you will die eventually. But if by the Spirit you put to death, you know, when something is dead, it's no longer existing. It doesn't have feelings. It's not sensitive to anything. It is dead. So even though the nature of sin is in your body, by the Spirit, the Bible says it is possible to put to death the deeds of your body. Those desires in your body that want to make you betray Jesus and sin, embrace Babylon. The Bible says by the Spirit of God, you can put them to death. They will be there, but it will be as if they are not there. And that is the only way you can live the life that is in Christ Jesus. The life of immortality. The life that is above sin. The life that doesn't fall easily when tempted. What else separates us from unbelievers if we fall in the same things that they fall in? Are you ready tonight? Let's go on. Now we'll go back. So life is in the spirit. True life is in the spirit. I'm talking about the life of God. The life that is superior to the life of the flesh. The life that is above sin. The life that has conquered death. The life that exhibits the supernatural. True life is in the spirit. John chapter 6 verse 63, you don't need to go there. Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickens. The word quicken means to give life. Meaning, it's the spirit of God that supplies that life of God. So when you get born again, how you can become a recipient of the life of God is the Spirit of God comes to live in you. When he comes to live in you, he introduces the life of God. Imagine carrying the life of God. It's that life is not, it's not, it doesn't have blood though. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No. The life of every human being is in their blood, but the life of God is not in his blood. He shed his blood on the cross. And you know, when you have blood, there are many things you are prone to. You are prone to mistakes. You are prone to affliction and sin. Mosquito can bite you and malaria will be in your blood. This life is not like blood. This life is an invisible force that is living in you that puts you on the class of God. Somebody say amen to that. That's the life that qualifies you to be supernatural. The Bible says it is the Spirit that gives this life. Job chapter 33 verse 4, the Bible says, the Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty has given me life. Life. The Spirit life, subduing the flesh. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8 verse 5 to 6. Romans chapter 8 verse 5 to 6. I want to show you something there. I explained it, but I want to go back there. The Bible says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6 is the interpretation of verse 5. It says, for those who set their minds, those who live according to the flesh set their minds, then those who live according to the Spirit, those who live the life of the Spirit in reality is because they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Verse 6 interprets verse 5. For to be carnally minded. Now, this is a believer. Born again, he has the Holy Ghost in him. But he has sold his mind to be concerned about the things of the flesh. That's what it means to be carnally minded. The word carnally is from the word carnal. It's from the word C-A-R-N, carn. It's from the word incarnation, meaning to come again in flesh. Do you understand that? So if you find a man living in sin, falling today and rising tomorrow, it's because his mind is sold to the desires of his body. Have you ever been there when you were to fast and pray? And you set your heart to pray and fast and reach 6 p.m. You started well with fire in your eyes. I will pray in tongues and I will get to 6 p.m. Charge myself up. Zobu, zobu, hey, hey. By 12 noon, when the sun is shining like this, and weather says 42 degrees, your body now has intelligence to advise you. Say, do you know what 42 degrees is? You will die, you'll be dehydrated. Then you go online and you see somebody, you see news, they say 3 people hospitalized in University of Maiduguri Teaching Hospital due to dehydration. Then your flesh now tells you, because your flesh is only concerned about, it just wants you to keep pleasing it. Even if it is at the expense of your salvation, keep pleasing it. Your flesh does not care about God, nothing. In fact, the Bible says, when you sell your mind to your flesh, you are carnally minded. That's what verse 6 means. Your flesh don't care. It's already condemned with sin. So do whatever you can do, but please me first. You struggle to 2 p.m. You are praying and then you sleep off. And then you wake up, and when you woke up and stood up, the whole place turned like this and turned back. Your flesh said, you will die now. Better go and break your fast. In fact, your flesh will remind you that 3 years ago, you were an ulcer patient. 3 years ago, he said the tendency will still come back. This is your flesh. It's talking to your mind. This is what it means to be carnally minded. I'm explaining verse 6. In fact, the flesh will even tell you, now this kind of fast you want to fast, you are not supposed to fast like this. You are supposed to go 6 to 9 for 3 days. I bet, where did they fast 6 to 9? Now, I mean 9 a.m. Your flesh. This is what it means to be carnally minded. Your flesh will say, no, you are not supposed to go long like this. You open all the ulcer wound. Then you man, you now yield around 2:30 p.m. Say, it's true. You just jump out of the prayers. You don't even say, Father, thank you. You just jump out. Because those who set their minds on the flesh, or those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the flesh. Verse 6 says, to be carnally minded is death. So you break off that prayer moment, forget about God, off you go to the refrigerator because you kept one mango there last night. In fact, it was your flesh that made you keep the mango there because your flesh was not supporting that fast. So keep the mango there just in case. Give us verse 6. It says, for to be carnally minded is what? Death. That death, don't think of it as somebody falling down first. Think of it as somebody separated from God. When you are separated from God, you will not think the things of God. You will not be concerned about what concerns God. It's all about you. That girl comes to your house to see you. And the Spirit of God is telling you it's inappropriate for you and this girl to be in this room alone. You need somebody to be there. In fact, when you were texting her the address and there was nobody in that room, something in you did not agree. Call this person to be here before, but you say no. Do carnally minded. And then she comes into the room and you are there looking at her. Your body is just waiting. In fact, in your body's mind, he has grabbed the girl already. As you people are seated, she's seated on the couch. You are seated on the bed. Your body is just ready for action. Even at that time, you can tell her to go or you can go outside. But because you are now carnally minded, your mind is now concerned about your body. It's only concerned about the desires of your body. I want sex. It's not concerned about God's desire that this body is not even your own. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He paid a heavy price for it, for you to use it. At least use it for something profitable. You are using it to sleep with somebody that is not your wife, for something that you don't own. Are you understanding something today? I'll tell you one of my stories. Let's continue. Because if I tell you a story now, you'll be distracted. In Romans chapter 6, from verse 1 down to verse 14, I want us to see something there. It shows us how we must live as believers. If you read Romans, Paul was talking about the life that we now have in Christ Jesus and how we came about by faith. So in Romans chapter 5, Paul spoke about the life of sin that exists in us because we were descendants of Adam. So that's why in Romans chapter 5, you see, talk about Adam. In Romans chapter 6, it talks about what it means to be in Christ. In chapter 7 of Romans, it talks about living according to the flesh. In chapter 8 of Romans, it talks about living according to the Spirit. Let's look at chapter 6. It shows us how we should live in Christ Jesus. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin now that we are born again? We have been free from sin. We are no longer to pay the penalty of sin. Somebody has paid it. It's just like you pay for somebody's market. Madam, how much be your market? 10,005. Then you pay it. Does it mean the woman should just distribute it anyhow like that? Because somebody has paid for the market? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because grace is paying for. Is a subsidy. Are you getting me? If she's a wise woman, she will still say that thing. Because even if you share it for free, the people will abuse it because they didn't pay for it, so they don't know the value of it. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know? You see, it's giving you an orientation of who you are in Christ and how you should behave now. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now, of course, the baptism here is not baptism by water. is the baptism that speaks of the law of being engrafted into Christ. The word baptism means immersion, to be immersed. If I put this finger into palm oil and it comes out, what will you see? Red. So I baptize the finger. What you are seeing is palm oil. So when the Bible is talking about baptism, there is not baptism as in water baptism. Not this time. It's talking about you now being in Christ. You have been immersed in Christ from the day you believed and accepted him as your Lord. Let's go on. He said, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. That means when Jesus died, by faith, we died with him. And died to sin. We were buried with him. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The glory of the Father there is the Holy Spirit. When Jesus died, remember when he was on the cross, one of the last things he said was, receive ye my spirit. He gave up his spirit. He died. So it was the dead body in the grave. So that dead body could not resurrect itself. It took the Holy Spirit to come into that body again and resurrect it. And the Bible says the same way Jesus resurrected is the same way we are supposed to walk in this new life that we have in Christ Jesus. How? Just the way the Holy Ghost had to come into that dead body and raise it. That's how every day you need the Holy Ghost to power you to live your life as a believer, exercising victory over sin. Do you understand that? Verse 4. But just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk. That same Holy Ghost that raised him from the dead is the Holy Ghost that will empower us every day to live. You need the Holy Ghost. Go on. It's still giving us an orientation of who we now are. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. It's just explaining further verse 4. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. The old man there is the flesh, the nature of sin. He is one person with different names. Just like you have, let's leave that one. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin, the nature of sin, might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of the nature of sin that is in our body. Because when Jesus died on the cross, we died with him by faith. And so, because sin was dealt with on the cross, the sin in us has been dealt with. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he now lives, he lives to God. Remember, I told you chapter 6 of Romans is what it means to be in Christ. So he's talking about Christ first, because whatever Christ is now, that's who we are. Go on. Leave my face. Let's finish. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead. That word reckon is not a big word. It means from today, live with this consciousness that you too, you are dead to sin, but you are now alive to God in Christ Jesus. That now that you are a child of God, you are no longer supposed to be a slave of sin, because you were with Jesus on the cross when he died. And when he died to sin. He hung sin on the cross and sin was dealt with. So you too, now that you are living in Christ, live as though you are no longer a slave of sin, but you are now alive to God. Alive to God means now that you are in Christ Jesus, there is a consciousness of God inside of you that makes you surrender to God and wants to live according to the life of God, which is above sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body This is now your own responsibility. Jesus has done his own. When he died with you. And he dealt with sin. So now that you are born again, you are free from sin. So what you are now meant to do is that you should not allow sin, even though sin is still in your body, but you are no longer a victim of it. You are no longer a slave of it. He says, do not let sin. Let means that you will be the one to permit it or not to permit it. You now see why when somebody tell you, I don't know what came over me, na lie. You were the one that let what came over you to come over you. When the girl was coming to your house, couldn't you stop her from coming? Isn't it? Was it sin that came and carried the axe and put in Cain's hand and carried Cain's hand and killed Abel? No. Abel proposed in his heart, I will kill this guy. So he sold his body to sin. Go on. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. It will tempt you, but don't obey it. And do not present your members, your body, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, free from sin, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Your body now will live to please God. Go on. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. This is how we are supposed to live in Christ Jesus. Understanding that in Christ you have overcome sin. Sin has been dealt with. It is still in your body, but it no longer subjects you as a slave. And so you yourself don't allow your body or your mind to be yielded to its desires. Because how sin will manifest is that it will tempt you through the desires of your body. If you yield to those desires, if you obey to those desires, you become a slave of sin. Is that true? So we overcome sin according to verse 11 to 14 of chapter 6. We overcome sin by, number one, not yielding to its lust. Lust there means desires. Your body will still have desire till tomorrow. Your body still wants to sleep with a woman that is not your wife. Your body still wants to go out with a married man. It doesn't care. But you are meant to overcome sin by not yielding to its lust. You overcome sin by submitting your body to the law of righteousness. You now make your body a slave of the life of God that is inside of you. The life of God wants you to remain holy unto God. Wants you to love people. Wants you to avoid revenge. And so you must enslave your body to it. The life of God in you says that no corrupt communication must proceed out of your mouth. Ephesians 4:29. You know, some of us, when we were not born again, you were used to insulting and cursing and all kinds of dirty slang. Even now, if they touch you small, if they touch that Adam in you small, you go come out. Some of you, if they touch you small, you use the F word. So, but God wants you to submit that mouth to righteousness. That you are tempted to say the F word does not mean you must say it. So you enslave your body and make it obey the life of God that is in you. That's how to live. Oh. If you are with me, say amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. Let's cut it. Let's cut the message. Remember, I used the word lust. So the nature of sin works in you by tempting you to yield to the desires of your body. For instance, and the word lust means desires. Strong desires. That's what it means. Strong desire. Your stomach has the desire for food. Hunger, isn't it? So sin, now that hunger is not a sin. But sin now is waiting behind, hoping that when you yield to hunger, it will trap you. It's just like that your old boyfriend that you say you will not have anything to do with. He now say, hey, come and meet me. I know you need money. Your mother is in the hospital. Or you need to pay your school fees. Come and meet me in so-so place. In command guest house. You need the money, no be so. But you know that going to command will be another thing. But you have to go there because you need the body, the money. So lust is the doorway to sin. It takes advantage of the desires of your body. And that's why you must learn to bring your body under subjection. You must learn to have control over your body. And I will show you how. First of all, in Galatians chapter 5, let's talk further on this lust thing. Now, I've cut the message. We would have gone to Romans chapter 7, come back to Romans chapter 8. But, you know, I really want you to understand. I want it to be as simple as possible. Maybe another time we'll do that. Galatians chapter 5 from verse 16. I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lust, you see the word lust? The flesh lust against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish to. Your flesh has its lusts, its desires. The spirit of God in you has desires. And so you are in between. I watched one comedy video one time. One guy came out of his house. Some of you may have watched it. And as soon as he came out to enter his car, he was going somewhere with his wife, but his wife was not out. And then one lady who was jogging passed him. And you know all this excuse in the name of, I'm wearing a gym wear, and somebody is dressed half naked. So that's how the lady dressed, and she jogged past him. And he was looking at what was behind. Then another lady passed like this. He turned to open the door. Another one passed like this. So he was going like this. How many of you have watched it? Okay, you don't want to confess. Now that's how it is. That's what Galatians says. The flesh has its lusts, the spirit. So, 1 minute you want to please God. The other minute, Babylon has come. Abel is awake. Cain too is awake. You go to the pot to take the meat. It's not your own. You close it, then you open it. You close it and go, then you come back. That's what's happening. There's a war going on. Somebody say there's a war going on in my body. It's not the war in the heavens. It's not the war here. That's why you are looking at the time when you are fasting. It's 3 p.m. When 6 go come, when 6 go now. Can we read on? But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Instead of doing all that struggling, just surrender yourself to the Spirit of God to lead you to His desires. He said, now the works of the flesh are evident. This flesh, where you say you want to follow? Let's stand this list. Now, notice he was talking to believers. He was not talking to unbelievers. Good. For the works of the flesh that you want to yield to are these. Adultery. Adult and tree. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lewdness. Lewdness means a seductive life. Somebody who is loosed, immoral. They can sleep with somebody and clean their mouth and just, they're just loosed. No restraint. You've not seen those kind of people? May you not see them. No restraint. Let's go on. Idolatry. Now, before you start thinking of images in the village, idolatry starts from a selfish desire to please you. You want to please you. That's what idolatry is. The reason why people bow down to images is because they have in them a desire to serve the God that they believe is their God. So stronger idolatry is self. When you say a man selfish, it's all about him. Doesn't care about other people. Have you lived with those kind of people before? Don't touch my thing. Want to bath? Don't touch my soap. Bath with this one. Stay here. Don't stay here. Idolatry. If they don't come out with their jewelries, they never dress. They don't mind going late to church, but they must wear that hair. They must wear that necklace. They must wear that wrist. They must pepper people. Who care about church service? I'm going to service to pepper people. Somebody say idolatry. That's what's happening in church. That's why you find people post more their pictures. They post more of their pictures after Sunday service than even anything the man of God. In fact, they've even forgotten what the man of God said. Happy Sunday. You see them. Sha. Idolatry. Somebody say idolatry. Yeah, you, and there's no difference between you and somebody who is serving Amadioha in Anambra. There's no difference. Both of you are the same. Self. 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 Selfishness. Idolatry is the root of selfishness. It's all about you. You don't care about anybody else. It's just you. Can we go on? He's talking to Christians, so not unbelievers. There's no unbeliever in this equation. So don't say he's talking to sinners. No. Talking to Christians. Hatred. Sorcery. Witchcraft. What is witchcraft? An insatiable desire to gain control over people. Oh, you think he's using charm? No. It's because you want to control people. That's why you go and use charm. Witchcraft. Women are more prone to this one. That's why English language, they say women are is a witch, a man is a wizard. Yeah. Control. You want your husband to do anything that you tell him. That's why some ladies have not gotten married. They are looking for the mumu. It's witchcraft. You are looking for a specimen to practice witchcraft. You are a witch already. Yes, you are a child of God. You are baptized. You have baptismal card, but you are a witch too. It's the truth. You don't need to like me to know whether it's the truth or not. Whether you like me or not is the truth. Insatiable appetite to control. Have you seen that lady? She has three friends. She wants to dominate everything, control everything. Now she go marry first. Everything she must choose. Even when it's not her own, she must choose. It's a witch. 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 If we don't call it loud like this, you will not know. You will not know that you are yielding to wrong desires. A pastor. Listen, let me tell you the truth. I think I've done it before. I should be humble enough to tell you I don't know everything. You must not listen to only me. No, you will jeopardize your Christian life. And don't be too loyal to me not to want to listen to others who have greater revelation than I have. Because it's about you growing into becoming a perfect man. It's not about my ego. But any pastor that doesn't want you to listen to another person, when you go to this church, you just throw there and come back. They call you for board meeting. When you enter, you see elders form semicircle. That is what? Witchcraft. Because they are paying tithes to you. You don't want the, it's the truth. And any day I start practicing it there, you people need to quarantine me.
Because it's easier for a pastor to be a witch than for a woman. Control. If you see a pastor, all he preaches is against this one is wrong. This one is wrong. This one is wrong. So now let you right. He's a witch. I said it. Regardless of age. You see, let me tell you something. Respect is important in the body of Christ. But listen, let me tell you. God is no respecter of persons. By God, I'm not saying that me, I should come and insult people. No, I didn't insult. I just called it what it is. Any pastor who claims others are wrong, except him, is a witch. He's deluded. He has been deluded. A spell has been cast on him. Yes. It's delusional. You know, one of the worst places to be as a Christian is to be where you think that you alone are right and everybody's wrong. If you always have an answer to everything and you can never concede and say, I am wrong or I missed this one, you're in trouble. And if you are in that kind of church, you don't need to wait for God to tell you to leave. Run for your life. Yes, I'm saying it on the internet. Run for your life. Cut this part and put it there. Who care what they say? Run for your life. If I start practicing witchcraft on you, you don't need leading. You don't need lead waiting. Run before you are led. Save your soul. If not, I will start corrupting you with that thing. You too, you will go outside and become an extension of me. That's how many people enter heresy. Let's continue. You see a husband that will beat his wife today, apologize tomorrow, beat next week, apologize. She leaves and goes to her people. You go and beg her, please, I can't do without her. Bring her back. After 2 months, beat her. That guy is a witch. He's a senior witch. Don't go back there until he has changed. It's not divorce. Just don't go back there. Save yourself. And let me talk to ladies and women generally, please. You see, this thing about divorce, I think we are overstretching. We are becoming too traditional about the word of God. God hates divorce, but God will not lose a person simply because of one abusive marriage. The moment they lift hand once, run for your life. The next time you may go down and never rise up. There are also some marriages where it's the woman that beats the man. You never see. You never see. I'm a pastor with a sitting, so. One brother was touching his muzzle now. Touch it very well. I can't tell you the kind of things I hear as a pastor. Trust me. Let's finish up. You are enjoying the gist. You don't want to, okay. Hatred works of the flesh. Contentions. Argue. In fact, every Nigerian has this one. Every Nigerian. We can drag anything. There's no job in Nigeria now. So any small thing you do, somebody wants to. Let's go on. Jealousy. Jealousy. Babe, let me see your phone. Let me see your phone. Jealousy. Bishop, bring the phone now. Let me see your phone. Straight, they are going to messages. Okay, now what's up? Babe, who is this girl? Who is this girl? Jealousy is a work of the flesh. There are some ladies that if they don't check their man's phone in a week, it's as if it's a routine, sanitation routine. Once every week. some of you have been in abusive relationships in the past before you became serious with God. So now you have carried that mindset. You now feel every boy is like that. There's something wrong with you. Let's finish up. Are you getting blessed? Outburst of wrath. I will scatter this place. At those days in our secondary school, there was this guy. If he's angry, his whole body will be vibrating. Like film. Let's go on. Selfish ambitions. No time to talk about all these things. Dissensions, heresies, envy, murders. That's the elder brother of jealousy, envy. That's the one that can make you kill. Go to the girl's house and say, if I see you around my guy, if I will get. Murders. That's why he's next to murder. Drunkenness. Revelries. And the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to believers. A believer that is living in any of these, forget about heaven. You and the pastor who is deceiving you that you can't lose your salvation, baby, you will be his tenant in hell. He would have gone there before you to buy 2 plots of land and build. You don't need to build in hell. There's fire enough there. The fire will be the wall. May that not be your portion. Let's go on. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, we are coming to the end of the teaching now. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. These are now the desires of the Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Even you are enjoying it as you are saying it. Gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. You can't break any law if you practice this one. Not the laws of God or the laws of man. He said, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desire. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to crucify the flesh? It simply means to deny its lusts. You know, when you crucify something, you are killing it. So when the Bible says we should crucify our flesh, it means we should deny the desires in the body that tempts us to sin. Deny it. Somebody say, deny the flesh. Tell your neighbor, deny the flesh. Oh, tell your neighbor, deny your flesh. And that's the thing with temptations. This is how you'll be able to overcome temptations. By abstaining from lust. By denying the flesh. Say no to it. It will have desires. It will tempt you. But you have the power to say no. Because you are no longer a slave. But if you yield to it, you get right back into becoming a slave. It is easier to avoid a sin than to be free from it when you are fallen. It is easier to avoid a sin than to be free from it when you are fallen. 1 John chapter 2 from verse 15 to 17. He said, love not the world, nor the things of the world. You know, your body loves the things of the world. Human hair. This one is from Vietnam. This one is from China. Bone straight. Can I continue? 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. For if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, desires of your body, the lust of the eyes, desires of your eyes. This is where men have problem. And the pride of life. 80% of men's problems. Yeah. I was told that somebody bought a car one time. God blessed him, he bought a car. Then one morning he was washing the car. He now discovered that there were 2 seats in front. And that's how the guy became a womanizer. So the other person that should be in the other seat is a woman. If you probe some of the accidents on the road, now woman, wait and see. Many people, their eyes have put them into trouble. You could say no when you looked at it. You kept looking at it. As you were looking at it, you were forging an imagery in your mind, making your mind yield to the desire. And before long, everything in you says you want it. You need to learn to overcome it by saying no, by abstaining. James chapter 1, verse 13 to 15. James chapter 1, verse 13 to 15. It talks about temptations. Remember, we're talking about subduing the flesh. James chapter 1, verse 13 to 15. Please be fast. Time is against us. Let's go. Yes. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot tempt by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. Either the desires of your eyes, of your body, or of yourself. That's what the pride of life is, to gratify self. Let's finish James. But each one is tempted. Go back to the previous verse quickly, please. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. He's drawn. You allowed yourself to be drawn away. Go on. Then when desire has conceived, your mind is saturated with it. It will give birth to sin. One day you'll actualize what you have been thinking. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So this is the anatomy of temptation. It starts with your desires. You yield to your desires. You had control of yourself at that time. You could say no. You could look at that rap and say, I don't need it now. I can't afford it. No need to take it on credit. Yeah, you could do that. But you force your husband to buy it. We'll pay next month. And then that same month, Trump policy, bam, and everybody loses their job. And now you can't pay back. Now you are dodging the call of the creditor. Nobody seeing you commit. Where did it start from? It started from your desires. You would have looked above it. I can look at a member's car and prophesy that car my way. The Lord said you have to give something that will cost you something. In the name of Jesus. As I was praying for you, I saw in the spirit that you are going to be one of the people that God will use to bless me. I saw you giving me a car. So how do you subdue the flesh? Take these 5 points and we pray. Number one, I've cut a lot of, you know, from the message just so that we can have an appreciable understanding and end. So how do we subdue the flesh? Number one, live in the consciousness of the spirit life that is in you on account of your salvation. Live in the consciousness of the spirit life in you. First of all, you must know that it is superior, that life, that spirit life is superior to the law of sin and death, which is in your flesh. So it makes saying no to your flesh easy. And also you must be conscious that in Christ you have died to sin. So you are no longer a slave to sin. You must now live in consciousness of the life of the spirit that is in you. Number two, and we saw that in Romans chapter 8 from verse 1 to 6 and in Romans chapter 6 from verse 1 to 14. Number two, how do you subdue the flesh? Exercise your will to obey righteousness, or exercise your will. Let me put it like this. Exercise your will over your body to become obedient unto righteousness. Exercise your will over your body to become obedient unto righteousness. Remember that your body now must act as a slave to fulfill the desires of the spirit. Your body should not suggest to you and you take it. Why should your body suggest to you and you take his suggestion? No. Could it save you? No. Every of his suggestion has sin trapped in it. For instance, you are fasting, your body tells you go and eat. And you know, after a long fast, or when you've fasted the whole day, if you are breaking your fast, you shouldn't eat so much, and you shouldn't eat at once. Take something light, wait a little bit for your system to become calm, because your system became used to staying without food all day. Then take something small, because you'll continue the next day. No, your body will say, swallow everything now. You need energy in the days ahead. It's 21 days fast. If you don't chop well now, you will fall down by 12 noon tomorrow. I hope you know that is now gluttony, and that is a sin. So your body should not suggest to you. When it suggests to you, tell it keep quiet. Listen to what the spirit is saying and force the body to obey the spirit. The body is meant to be an instrument unto righteousness. You see that in Romans chapter 6 from verse 12 to 13. Number 3, deny the lust of your body. In other words, say no to the desires of your body. My soul says yes, says yes, says yes. My soul says yes, says yes to your will. Say no, you can't. I tell you, it's easy. And the more you say no, the easier it gets. Let me give you one story about me. One time a few years ago, I know you've been waiting for the story. So here's the story. A few years ago, I think we are just closed for the year. And I've learned over time that when we close for the year, that's when I'm more spiritual. Because that's when the devil is waiting for me with all kinds of temptations. That time you decide to rest. Ah! Thou preparest a table before me. Not God now, it's the devil. And so this lady said she wanted to come to my house. I wasn't feeling too strong that day, so I had to go, you know, get some medications that day. But this lady said she was coming. Then, you know, I used my sitting room for counseling that time. You know, we just started the ministry then. Not now. Before you now go and say I'm counseling people in my room. Then, not now. Then, we're talking 5 or more years ago. So, usually a protocol, 1 or 2 protocol officers will be around every time I'm seeing people till I see all of them. The protocol officers will be around first before the people start coming and all of that. But this day, the devil had put trap for me. So I went to buy the medications. And as I was coming, some of these scriptures were just ruminating in my mind. I didn't know the Holy Spirit had seen what was going to happen and he was preparing me. So I told the girl, where you are in so-so junction, let me know. So that I can maybe send a protocol to pick you or something. The protocol I asked to come, I thought he was at home waiting for me. He was not there. Guess what? The lady had arrived. So I went back home. While I was coming, I had a knowing in the spirit that there was going to be trouble today. And it was as if, you know, that scripture God told Cain, say, why is your face sad like this? If your offering was well, you would have been accepted. He said, but sin is lying at your door. But you are able to conquer it. Just before you fall, your will still has the power to choose the spirit. I got to my house. That time I had, my house was the main house in the compound, then the house in the gate where the caretaker stayed. So the caretaker now, being an unbeliever, had opened the gate for the lady. So she entered the house. So me, as I came, as I got to the gate, I knew she was in the house. I took my phone, called the protocol. His line was switched off. When I entered, he was not around. I saw the shoes of the lady, and I knew that I had a decision to make. Nobody just falls into sin. So I opened the door of the parlor. I didn't see anybody. The lady came with obvious intentions. And I don't know whether she was right or wrong. She'd be wrong anyway. I saw her hiding behind the door. I said, how are you? So she came. And this is what I did. I told her, wait for me, I'm coming, let me change. I closed the door, I entered my room, I locked that room, and I stayed there for 1 hour completely. And I told God that I won't betray you today. My body had given up. Oh. That I won't betray you came from my will. My body was dead. My body was telling me free food. Go and experiment. This one brought itself to you. You think this body will ever be born again? It will never be born again. I know I'm sharing this experience. I sat there. I told God, I said, no. Today, now me and you. After 1 hour, I showered, dressed up, came up. Of course, after 1 hour, all the hormones would have come down a little bit. So we sat down for a couple of minutes, talked. You know, that was not during the COVID period or something like that. So I observed the 2 meters. My own 2 meters and was the whole house, the whole room. When we finished, I told her it's time to go. Oh, the protocol didn't come again. Somehow, maybe the devil tried to waylay him because the devil was after me. She said, should I boil rice for you? I said, no, I'm fine. I was not fine. There was no food. Brothers, when they hear me, don't waste my story. So that tomorrow, when you are in the same condition, there was no food, sir. I was not fine. As she left there, I was either going to face hunger or find a way. But man shall not live by bread alone. It's not about food now, it's about destiny. All that God had been doing in my life was flashing through me. All the years of consecration, everything, keeping myself. I say, will I just? I say, no. I say, go. Push that out of the gate. Lock the gate. He was even requesting for a hug at the gate. Get out. Close the door and came back. I came back happy because I knew God had won that day. That's just one amongst many close calls I've had. You have the power to say no. You think you'll be enjoying what you're enjoying today? If I yielded that once, I would keep yielding. That's the thing with sin. Once you put your leg, he wants to drown you. But you can still say no. Your own may not be a woman. Your own may be a man. That's if you heard my story. Your own can be money that they offer you, bribe. And your body is telling you, you need to preserve yourself. Remember the poverty in your father's house. 50 million. Do you know what it can do for you? Imagine a woman come to you with $10,000. And say, just one night. You know that song, One More Night? How do you know? $10,000. $15,000. Just one night. Nobody will know. If you can't handle the no of now, it's not when God takes you and makes you a global figure, a national figure, where the temptations are more. Some of you become palm sex tomorrow, you become ministers. People will sell themselves to you for contract. People will offer you all kinds of things. One of my friends who is an officer in the military was to be posted somewhere. I went and met him. I said, this place you are going to go, God says, be careful with women and money. He said, yes, sir. That God already told him that. I said, very good. Can I tell you the secret? Fast often. When he went there, not up to a month after he went there, They say somebody is looking for him. One Elijah. Who is this Elijah? I guess the guy was into oil bunkering or something. And he was the guy commanding that area. You should know where I'm talking about in Nigeria. The Elijah came and looked for him in Chai's church. Waited outside. Enter church. Say, church go close. I must see you. Why do you want to see me? Elijah said, I just came to greet you and introduce myself. And with that greeting, he brought 40 million. I'm talking about 3 years ago, of which 40 million that time now can be 100 plus. Just to greet you, he brought 40 million. And then the young man will now remember when he was fighting Boko Haram, when there was no money there. God must have brought him to a broad place to enjoy. He's not the reason why oil bunkering and oil theft is going on in Nigeria. He can collect this one and collect more and just leave. Or perhaps he can justify it, collect it and send tithes to me, 4 million. Apostle, take your own. Me, ma, foolish me, who is after money and not after the soul of a man, I will receive the money in righteousness. I say, the Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. Meanwhile, I owe money. This guy kept disturbing my friend. My friend say, no. They switched from money to women. They brought all kinds. My friend say, no. He say he will not take money or do anything that will jeopardize the future of his children. That his work with God is a covenant work. He's not a pastor, he's a believer. Meanwhile, some people were lobbying to push him out of that place to take his place. Now, unknown to them, that island is always experiencing chaos, crisis. People die every month. The secret to sustaining peace on that island is that you, the oga that is commanded to coming to command that place, must not take bribe, must not carry woman. So when my friend was there, the king of the island met him before he left. He said, for 25 years, we have never experienced peace like this. No one person died. No theft. Somebody now went and lobbied him out of that place, entered his position. He told me, sir, I'm leaving this place. So they've brought a replacement. I say, yeah, as you are leaving, the angels that are with me are leaving with you. Whoever is entering there should find his own man of God, an angel. 1 week later, they killed 4 soldiers, carted away with half of their armory. Because he went there to eat. I want you to make a vow tonight to say no. Even when saying no does not profit you. Somebody brings you $15,000, $25,000. You think we'll still be here by that time? The Bible says of Moses that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. There's something about saying no. The devil begins to fear you because they know that you don't have a price. There's something holiness does to a man in the realm of the spirit. Everything that you receive from God will be sustained on that platform. It's not everybody that God will use to champion a revival territorially, nationally. No. It's not everybody. It's those who have kept their vessels. It's those who have said no. Some of you misbehaved before, but now that you are born again and with God, you can say no and consecrate to God. How many points did I give you? Okay, number 4, embrace sanctification as a lifestyle. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 1-7. So one of the ways you can subdue the flesh, embrace sanctification as a lifestyle. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you shall abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. Let's go on. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from what? Don't pretend as if you didn't see it. From what? He didn't say you should fall and ask for forgiveness. And I'm not just talking to singles, I'm talking to married people. Because marriage is not a cure for immoral. An immoral person is an immoral person. Let's go on. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel Know how to bring your body, your private parts under control in sanctification and honor. Not in the passion of lust. You are just loosed anyhow. Like the Gentiles who do not know God. Go on now. Abi, are you convicted? That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother. So when you lose God, you are defrauding your own brother that you are losing God to. You understand? Lose God. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such. Avenger means God will punish you. As we also forewarned you and testified. Verse 7. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Finally, number 5. So I said embrace sanctification. Sanctification means separated unto God. The lifestyle that makes you separated unto God. Number 5. Sow to the Spirit. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 to 8. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, death. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life and peace. So if you don't want to be tempted in your mind, sow to the Spirit. How? Let your mind be concerned about the things of the Spirit. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2 says, set your minds on things above. Instead of giving your, and you know, there are gates to your mind. Your eyes are a gate to your mind. Your ear are a gate to your mind. Anything you keep seeing and you keep hearing is already being domiciled in your mind. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? All right. Subduing the flesh. I want you to repeat this after me before we pray. Say, I'm in the Spirit. I live in the Spirit. I walk in the Spirit. I walk by the Spirit. And I run by the Spirit. I want you tonight to be determined to surrender your mind to the things of the Spirit. And by so doing, crucify the flesh. Deny the flesh. By saying no to its lust. Exercise the victory that God has given to you in Christ Jesus. Saying no can be sweet. When you see me cast out demons, have you ever heard any of the demons say, hey, you will go sleep with that girl? Or you stole church money? They can't say anything. Because I don't play games with them. And it's a vow. For life. You'll have to kill me to make me you. One time, one of our sisters, I think they sold their car or something, brought the money, half a million or so. Then, no, not now, you know, half a million now is like a 1.something million. They brought it to my house to give me. I say, is it for the ministry or for me? They say it's for the ministry, but you are the ministry now, so take. My conscience knew that this money belongs to God. It's not me. But man of God has needs, isn't it? Oh, you don't know in Maiduguri? Yeah. They play. You don't know that man of God has need. If I save what I give out to people in 2 months, I'll buy a car. Let me tell you the truth. Honest truth. I have some of my accountants here, they'll tell you. If I give anything less than a million in a month, it can't be. I would have used that. Where is Bamanga's wife? Bamanga, it was your wife. It was you. You came with your Mercedes Benz now. You brought your wife. No, be so. You came to my house. I brought the money. Did your wife tell you how much it was? Because his wife was assistant accountant. Did she tell you how much? Okay, we'll ask your wife. The way then give me. And that's why I give. As I was giving the money to his wife, the assistant accountant, I said, you will go and count it and put it in the bank. My body said, you are a fool. You are a fool. You are a fool. You need this money. And there are many times I've been a fool like that, so that I can have power with God. Close your eyes and talk to God. I live for Jesus, day after day. I live for Jesus. Yes, come what may.
Speak to God.
The Holy Spirit. I will obey. I live for Jesus. Day after day.
Open your mouth and talk to God. I don't know what you have heard. Speak to Him. The life of the Spirit in you gives you the ability to subdue the flesh. For some of us, it's anger that needs to be subdued. For some of us, lust for material things. Lasciviousness. For some of us, pride. Talk to God. This is not a popular message they preach. But if you want to live with God, if you want to know God, if you want to walk with God and experience the fullness of the spirit life, you must subscribe to this kind of teaching, subduing the flesh. Speak to God in the next 1 minute. Moshakita labalahasikaila. Sobrategele mahaskayama. Vela prata si proktonogomosima. Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we rise on our feet? Before we pray, I want to pray for a set of persons, or maybe a person that the Lord showed me while in prayer. If you are such, please come. I want to pray. We want to pray for this person connected to you. I hope you know that this message was not meant to portray me as over righteous. No. There are things I'm still struggling to yield to the Spirit. But I shared my experience. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that you can learn from me. And so that you can know you are not guided by a deceiving shepherd. Time will fail me to share some other things I share with you. Some of you will not be able to sleep this night. But if you value what you have with God, if you value the life that is in you, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20, say, for you have been bought with a price. A price. Therefore, honor God in your body. This body is too valuable to God to end up in the bed of a harlot. That desire can wait. Believe me, you won't die. You won't die. You can wait. Can wait. I want to pray for somebody here. He's like an elder brother or something who is mentally deranged. He's mentally retarded. Specifically, God is showing me somebody who is perhaps into substance abuse. Drug abuse. It's like an elder brother to you. If you are here and you are aware of that, please come. Don't be ashamed. There will be no camera on your face. We want to pray. God says they will be set free. Do you believe that? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free. Let them come forward. For the law of sin and death. Is an elder brother or maybe an elder cousin or a friend, but the way God showed me is a man figure who is older. He's mentally retarded and is into substance abuse. That's what the Lord showed me. We want to pray for deliverance right now. You now see where the power of deliverance comes from. It's not just come out and come out. No, it's from this truth that I shared. That some of you are sleeping. It's from this truth. We're going to pray this evening. You have an elder brother or maybe an elder male cousin who is mentally retarded and is specifically into substance abuse. Please come. We want to pray and secure their deliverance right now. Hold somebody's hands, everybody. We are going to pray. Just two. We are going to pray. All of you? Is who to you? Your elder brother, directly. Wonderful. An uncle is into that. Brother. Huh? Brother. Is he into substance abuse?
Yes, sir.
Elder brother. Elder brother too. Same here. Clap for Jesus. So I think I got it. I know they must have taken perhaps to rehab. One or two things do, but they can't be free. As we pray tonight, and you agree by faith, that law of sin and death will be arrested. That devil of addiction will leave them. And they will become sober. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 65, I can't put my hand on the verse now, but it says, just like a cluster of grapes, and it says a new wine is in it, therefore destroy it not. It says, so shall I do unto you, I will not destroy all of you. There is still value in the lives of these people. God will set them free, and they will serve. They will serve the Lord. I want you to come against every spirit of addiction. Command it to let loose these people. Open your mouth and pray. Wait. I didn't say whisper. I say pray. Lift your voice and pray. Every form of addiction, come against it. Every devil from hell manipulating God's people through the desires of their flesh, enslaving them to the law of sin and death. We stand by the liberty that is in Christ Jesus. Please pray. 2 more minutes. Please pray. Please pray. We set them free. We set them free. You are not praying like you believe it. We set them free. We set them free. We break the yoke of substance abuse. We arrest that devil playing with their mind. Hey! Patakalabaka kosipa mayada. Leko sakrateke baragadaya. Sorabakatalagariataya. Are you praying? Supernatural. About your name, Jesus. Something special, supernatural about your name, Jesus. Something happened.
in Jesus' name.
Not only these ones, but anybody here that is held up by any addiction, you'll be free.
For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. It says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. It came that you will have life and have it more abundantly. Any life that sees you enslaved to anything is not a life worth living. He paid for your liberty. Please put your right hand on your chest, everybody. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, first for the congregation and those following online. I've taught them your word, the revelation of the life of the spirit that helps us to subdue the flesh. Father, by the truth of your word and by the power of the Holy Ghost, please, all eyes closed, put your hand on your chest. Anyone here that is trapped under any yoke, any addiction, any bondage, any sin, good people, but they are trapped by one thing or the other. Right now, I speak to those spirits that is collaborating with the flesh in their bodies. And I command those devils in the name of Jesus, let them go. I speak to those devils of addictions. I declare that you let them go now. Lose your hold of their life. Lose your hold of their minds. I break the power of masturbation. I arrest that spirit. I curse the spirit of betting, gambling. I come against any kind of addiction, immoral addiction. Addiction for material things. Tonight is a deliverance service. I declare that you are delivered from it in the name of Jesus. I say you are free from it in the name of Jesus. From today, experience the liberty that is in Christ Jesus. You will not be held under any sin, under any addiction. Please just keep your right hand here for the next 60 seconds. I sense the Lord walking. I sense a surgical operation happening right now. God is pulling out stuff from people. That you are delivered doesn't make you a bad person, no. God is setting you free. I see God pulling out stuff from people. I see somebody, there's a kind of addiction you have. I don't know if this is an immoral, look like a masturbation addiction or something, but every time you are tempted to masturbate, or I don't know if it's immorality or something, you begin to feel, it's a devil, it's a demonic spirit. You feel that your private area begin to scratch you. See why they are called unclean spirits. Eyes closed everywhere. I command that spirit to leave now. I set you free. Be free in your mind. Be free in your body. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Now let's pray for these ones. Stretch your hands towards them. You people in front, lift your hands. Lord, we speak over those relatives of theirs, and I curse that spirit of addiction, substance abuse. Be arrested now. That spirit that has made them mentally redundant, mentally deranged, I curse you and I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. We release deliverance right now. And Lord, in the days ahead, they will return back with testimonies. It is done. In Jesus' name. Please clap your hands for Jesus. Return back to your seat.
Hallelujah. Are you blessed tonight? One more thing before we go, an altar call. Now, the fact that you didn't see anybody fall down, great deliverance has happened today. Many of you, the things you struggled with, you will go back and find victory over it in the name of Jesus. Please, everybody standing, I want to make an altar call. This is a call to surrender. It's one thing to be free, but for you to remain free, you must surrender your heart to Jesus. It is only when the Spirit of God lives in you, that's when you can have the authority, or better say, you can be free from the law of sin and death. And I'm giving this altar call for one person, for two or three or more people here that need to surrender to Jesus. Until you surrender, you truly cannot be free. You are here, you want to surrender to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you want to rededicate your life. You are a Christian, but you're not really serious with God. You want to rededicate your life, or you find yourself trapped under certain things and you want to experience true liberty. Put your right hand on your chest wherever you are in this auditorium and online, and say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe that you died and rose again for my freedom and for my salvation. I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for rescuing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. If you pray that prayer with me, raise your right hand up so I can see you. High as you can. God bless you. If you pray that prayer, raise your right hand. I want to see you. God bless you. I see 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm still counting. Keep it up. Keep it up. I see more hands coming up. Now, could you just walk to the front quickly? I want to pray for you. Let's give them a thunderous applause. You have rescued my life. Keep clapping. You have rescued my life. And I'll never go back. Please keep clapping. Make your way to the front. You have rescued my life. Two people. I'm giving 10 more seconds. Please join them if you need to. I saw more than two hands raised up. Either you prayed that prayer with me, this is your ticket to freedom. 10 more seconds for you to join these ones in the front. Let's clap for them as they come. Quit the struggle in your mind. God is calling you. Jesus is calling you. It's a call to freedom. It's a call to victory. I'm still waiting for you. I'm still waiting for you. I'm still waiting for you. I'm still waiting. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands to this one. Father, could you lift your right hand? Lord, by the confession of their mouth and faith in their heart, we declare that they are saved. We seal them with the blood of the Lamb and with your promised Holy Spirit. And from today, we declare that they walk in victory above sin, Satan, death, hell, and the grave. We break the power of addiction, break the power of witchcraft, break the shackles of hell over their lives. It's a new day for them. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Please look at me.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.